Hey, welcome in time for a rather important daily editorial here on KER Politics. I hope you guys have a great 2019. I know Kathy and I certainly rung in the new year festively, and that was kind of a nice thing to do. An interesting situation was brought up by some of our listeners on the blogs over the weekend, and I went over almost every single comment on Monday, and something that was brought to my attention that I think is very interesting is number one, the fellow who was killed in 2015 in Washington, D.C. was Putin's, basically his media czar. And the death was originally ruled as being an accident, but according to a report written by, interestingly enough, Christopher Steele, that name sound familiar, it was very definitely not an accident. And the thing about Mikhail Levin that is interesting is that he basically was instrumental in the formation of Russian Times. Russian Times, along with Sputnik News, is very, very popular in the United States, and I have to say that it strikes me as being an interesting coincidence that Christopher Steele was involved in the report of this not being an accidental death, but actually a murder, number one. And number two, I find it really interesting that Mikhail Levin's son is very instrumental in funding Hollywood mega pictures. The picture coming out in March, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, is actually being funded by Levin. Now, what I think is interesting here is if you look at the content of the Russian Times and the Sputnik News, and if you look at the amount of influence that motion pictures have in our country today, it strikes me that this is a great way to infiltrate the United States with, I don't want to call it fake news, I want to call it propaganda that is very, very believable. Too many coincidences going on here. Got Josh Phillip with me on the line right now. Josh, what do you think about this?
Well, it's interesting from a few different perspectives. One is, of course, Christopher Steele is the former British spy who wrote the Trump dossier, which was opposition research financed by the DNC and the Clinton campaign. Now, what's most interesting about this is the dossier has been mostly discredited. I mean, all the major claims, of course, have been discredited. It appears now that there are several issues with it. Just leave it at that. The main part that's interesting in this is that Christopher Steele wrote that dossier from Russian sources. In other words, it was a piece of Russian disinformation used to, alter the outcome of an election, framed as evidence that Trump did what his opponents actually did do through the evidence they created and spread throughout our government. What's interesting about Steele's involvement with that death and with his reporting on that death is that if he's stating that the death was a beating gone bad, or he's defending the individual tied to the Russian disinformation machine, what does that say about his interests? Does that mean that Christopher Steele is defending the Russian propaganda machine, that he is, trying to shine a light that maybe something more was to his death? And what is his interest in doing that? I think this is a very interesting story. We don't have the conclusions on it, but it's still very interesting.
Well, I will say one thing. I'll put together all the information that I can if you decide to do something on this, because I've actually read quite a bit about it in the last couple of days. It's more than just an interesting coincidence. It's a very interesting, in my opinion, international criminal case, potentially. And the reason I say that is because rather than put it into the category of, let's say, mysterious stuff that you can't understand or what have you, I think this is something that is, I'm sure it's being investigated right now, but I think this is something that you would find to be very interesting to look into, because the coincidences, Josh, are just too great.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Well, regardless, too, we can talk about the death. The whole thing is very interesting. Let's talk a bit about states and nations. When you're dealing with countries like Russia, of course, there have been several assassinations exposed. What was it? Polonium. They poisoned a guy with polonium one time, yep. Like a radioactive material. They've poisoned people through different means. They tend to take the route of, say, old-fashioned assassination, mm-hmm. maybe is a way to put it. Major countries such as the United States or Israel, I've been told, if they do assassinations, it looks like a natural death. And it'll often be done in witnesses. And so a person might choke on a fishbone, or a person might slip and fall in the shower. You know, someone knocks the door while the person's distracted, the person will slip and fall in the shower, break his neck or something. It looks like a natural death, typically. That's kind of the high end of it. The sloppy kind of mafia type or criminal type or, government official paying for an assassination will often take the form of, say, a gang member hired to carry out a killing. And that way, you know, in the forensic stage, it's written off as botched robbery or gang. And so typically the investigation won't go much further than that.
Well, this investigation did stop temporarily, interestingly enough, until Steele's dossier came out. And now it's, I guess it's going ahead full steam again. I would have to say that I think it would be a stretch to put this into the category of conspiracy theory subjects. I think I would put it in the category very definitely of an alleged premeditated murder. But then you have to look at some of the issues behind it. All of the countries that this could possibly affect, when you look at the Russian influence in our media, whether it's the Russian Times, the Sputnik News, or whether it's Hollywood Motion Pictures, I think all of them are very, very dangerous. Hollywood Motion Pictures, number one, he just financed a picture that was starring Brad Pitt, and then you have the other picture that is starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger is not particularly known to be a progressive, but if I'm not mistaken, Brad Pitt is. Maybe we can, as we look at this thing further, Josh, maybe we can find some parallels here.
Right. So let's take it one step back and just mention quick that, you know, of course, Steele wrote the report. Steele doesn't have the best credibility at this point, given the fact that his dossier was discredited and, you know, salacious nonsense, basically. It's completely possible that his claim that the guy was assassinated or was not, you know, an accident was just him, for some reason, writing disinformation in the same way he wrote the Trump dossier.
Right.
Which is, it's totally possible given his track record.
Sure it is.
But when it comes to film, the Soviets have recognized the use of film early on. Russians, we can assume, continued that, especially Putin having a background in the KGB. We can look back to, you know, Stalin, you know, manipulated the films as propaganda. Same thing as Mao Zedong in China. Madame Mao, Mao Zedong's wife, was the one in charge of culture. They manipulated plays and all these things to spread communist propaganda. There was, of course, the whole Hollywood blacklist during the Cold War in the U.S. These people were trying to use films to, you know, spread their messages. And even today with China, they have, in their unrestricted warfare doctrine, they state very clearly culture warfare.
Right.
And you can find quotes even very recently from Chinese Communist Party leaders mentioning culture warfare and the use of film as a form of propaganda. And we can look at one of their major companies, Dolly and Wanda, buying up Hollywood, buying up major film studios, agencies, all these things. And also China's long list of programs to censor what can be said. So, a few examples. Under Chinese law, you can't portray the Chinese Communist Party as bad. You can't portray the Chinese police as bad. You can't portray the U.S. military as good, right? You have to have at least one scene shows that takes place in China. You have to have at least, I think, one or two Chinese actors, and already in our films. Now, movies, they have the effect of creating kind of conceptual memories.
Correct.
And so a movie can introduce a change in your values. A movie can introduce the idea that maybe something you thought was bad is actually good, or something you thought was good is actually bad. They can warp your moral values. They can change your perceptions of politics. They can create stories that you remember as an experience. And this is manipulated by these different groups as propaganda. I mean, going back to the Soviets and continuing until today. So these people very clearly recognize the use of film and the use of entertainment for propaganda.
Well, it's pretty interesting because Tarantino's, not his most recent movie, but his second most recent movie really was a tribute, if I'm not mistaken, to Nazi filmmaking. Apparently the Nazis used films very, very effectively to sway people's opinions.
Yeah, well, it's a concept.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to get too deep into this, but the way they break it down from a standpoint of propaganda is that person has two different systems, two different internal mechanisms of perception that can be manipulated. One is your mythos. Your mythos is like your system of values established by the stories you've been told growing up. This could be your religion. It could be, the anecdotes, say like Aesop's fables, right? Slow and steady wins the race kind of concepts, right? The story, the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
It's stories we've been told that shape kind of minor perceptions and values that we live by. And then the meaning. Your cycle of meaning is your perception of things in within reality as symbols of other things that certain things can represent a concept or represent an emotional feeling. For just as an example, say a cross, a crucifix can be perceived by, someone who has no concept of Christianity might just see two overlapped pieces of wood or a person nailed to a piece of wood. They wouldn't understand the meaning, but a Christian would perceive it as a meaning or a symbol of salvation.
Yeah.
And so the manipulation of symbolism, right? This ties into kind of Pavlov's dog theory. You can use these methods to alter the way people perceive things as symbols. You can turn, say, police into symbols of oppression. You can turn, a white male into a symbol of oppression. You can turn, like Hitler did, Jews into symbols of oppression or so on and so on. Different groups will manipulate your perceptions of people, of issues, of, countries, of political policies, of social issues, of race, gender, sexual orientation. All of these can be manipulated and then attached to social policy or government activity to turn you for or against them and then manipulate those in order to direct society in whatever direction they're trying to bring it in. And this is used heavily by all sorts of different groups.
Yep. Well, I have to tell you, it's very definitely interesting food for thought. Unfortunately, our audience is very effectively getting Big L thinking in this direction. Let us know what you think about this, and we will very definitely open the door for Joshua Phillip to come back again on the Weekend Radio Show. Josh, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Al. Good talking to you.
Always good talking to you.